5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Timing is everything. Especially when robbing a bank. From the book, One to Rob a Bank, by Stephen D. Levitt and Stephen J. Dubner. Welcome to Grimly.
Welcome, this is Grimly.
Hi, welcome to Grimly.
I am Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And we were just talking about heist movies. Our favorite ones.
Yeah, what is your favorite one?
I have a couple. So I really liked Ocean's 8.
Okay.
Which is the all-female one.
Oh, okay.
Which I feel like never really got...
Yeah, not sure if I... Is that the one with Rihanna?
And yeah, Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett and Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
I mean, like, the Ocean movies in general are good.
Okay. Heist.
Yes. Yeah. Ocean's 11. I did watch 12 and 13. I just don't remember much from them. Ocean's 11 is, like, pretty spot on.
Right.
There's also, did you ever watch Logan Lucky?
I did, but I don't remember it. I did see it, though.
Yeah, but like, I really like that one.
Doesn't he have weird blonde hair?
Daniel Craig.
Okay, I was like, there's a blonde.
Weird blonde hair. Also a very, like, specific country bumpkin.
Oh, he was a country bumpkin, too?
Yeah, because I think it was like, kind of.
Yes, that is ringing a bell.
It revolved around, like, NASCAR or something, right?
Yeah, okay, but in that case, it sort of makes sense why they have blonde hair.
But you did bring up a good point of, like, whether or not the Fast and the Furious movies...
Yes, that was my question.
...are heist movies.
I think it counts.
At least the first one. Did they rob someone in the first one?
I thought they steal cars.
They're not just, like, racing them around their own cars.
Truly, I don't remember.
I think they steal cars.
But mine is The Italian Job.
The Italian Job is a great movie.
Yeah, it's a good one. But also cars are like
like the Mini Cooper, like, chase scenes.
Yeah, I don't think they stole those, though.
I don't think so.
That wasn't the heist.
No. It's just, No. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So, what does that have to do with tonight?
So, I don't know if you knew this. I did not know this. We had, like, a hometown bank robbery heist.
A hometown bank robbery?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty intense. I found this story on Mystery Files.
Okay.
Which I talked about a show called Ghost Files from our Pet yes. Nurse Asylum
yes.
episode.
Yes, because it's a pattern.
Yeah. So it's the same network. It's the Watcher Network. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
And it's the same two guys that are like the really funny ghost hunters. They also really have funny. Another YouTube series called Mystery Files.
Okay.
And it's their names are Shane and Ryan. And I think a little like tidbit of Watcher Network specifically is they were both on the BuzzFeed Network and they were doing BuzzFeed Unsolved. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
Nope.
It was a web series too. But they started their own network. Okay. So they had Ghost Files, which is their ghost hunting show. And they also have a show called Mystery Files, which is like a kind of their version of Unsolved Mysteries.
Sure.
But their first episode was an episode called DB Tuber.
DB Tuber?
Yes. Like an air tube.
Oh, tuber.
Yeah.
Are you thinking like the vegetable kind of tuber?
Oh.
What? Is that a potato?
What?
Not potatoes, tubers. Something that grows in the ground.
Never fucking heard
that. I was thinking like, this is another country bumpkin.
A tuber. Technically is a country bumpkin story because it's from our hometown, but.
Is it from Monroe?
Yeah.
Okay. I was it's, like, it's giving Monroe.
It's a specific Monroe. Bank heist.
Okay.
That I had never.
I've never. I like somewhere in my mind, I was like, this is a Monroe thing, but I could not tell you anything today about it.
Okay.
And if you'd ask me when it happened there, I would say, sure, why not?
I mean,
but not out. Freddy,
I just slapped the shit out your foot. This fucking cat. He's like, how dare you not know this? Sorry.
Have the claws out.
No, it was just a little bit bad. But yeah, so September 30th, 2008 in Monroe, Washington.
2008. Okay, that makes sense because I would have been working.
I think you were in Arizona.
Oh, well, it depends on what time in 2008, I guess.
September. Yeah, I literally just said that.
Sorry, I'm just
tending. That's a trend.
I'm tending to my foot wounds.
The non-foot wound.
I have no more time focusing. Okay, so in September 2008.
Yeah, September 30th, 2008.
Whoa, I did not know you said the exact date.
I think you were in Arizona.
Sure.
At culinary school.
Yeah.
And I think I was in Vegas.
Okay.
So living in Vegas at the time. So I don't think either of us were in state when this happened.
Okay.
So I'm giving us a pass on
that. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, so on September 30th, 2008. You want me to say the date one more time for you?
No.
Okay.
9/30/08.
Yes. In Monroe, Washington, occurred a bank robbery. So out of the box, some people might call it genius.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Shocked. Day of the crime. Day of the crime. September 30th, 2008. One more time for you.
I don't know.
At 11 a.m., a group of men stood outside the Bank of America / the Jack in the Box in Monroe, Washington.
I knew it was that one, too.
Did you? Okay, so
by the Albertsons?
It's no longer an Albertsons. It's now a Coastal. It's a food store.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, but it's that. It's a big parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's where, that was my first bank. That's where I opened my banking account.
Like as a teenager?
Yes, and my credit card. That's why I still use Bank of America because of that bank.
Yeah. I do not.
Well, you're an adult.
Well, I have a credit union, so. That's...
Yeah, just
yeah. Lazy. It's what you know.
Yeah.
And like, it's a pain in the ass to switch banks.
And all banks exactly built to like treat you well.
Yeah.
Not Bank of America's especially bad, but
whatever. I got a great
history with them. I do anyway.
I mean, you pay your bills sometimes, so that's probably why you have a great history with them. So 11 a.m. a group of men stood outside the Bank of America Jack in the Box parking lot. Imagine that.
I'm there.
After answering an interesting Craigslist ad calling for landscapers.
Okay, so it's conjuring what type of men would have been out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the ad offered to pay everyone $28.50 an hour.
That's a lot of money.
In 2008, yes. And it was for 9 days worth of landscaping. And the only clear directions given were to meet at a parking lot between the Jack in the Box and the Bank of America and to be wearing the following items. Work boots, a long sleeve blue shirt, a blue hat, a yellow safety vest, and a particle mask, which I think is now an N95 mask, and also to be wearing no shorts. So jeans or pants.
Okay.
The Craigslist ad was posted by someone claiming to be from the Clean Monroe Beautification Project.
All right.
And if no one was there by the time you got there, wasn't the person answering the ad, do not leave and just wait.
Okay. Was the Clean Monroe Beautification
Project
real?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's something I didn't look into, actually. Oh. I'm assuming not, because it looks like Monroe is about the same. So, while this group of people who answered this ad, a group of guys, were waiting for a supervisor to show up and kind of like tell them what to do, there was about 5 or 6 people, by the way, which that parking lot has like, what, 4 shrubs and a tree?
Oh, that's where they were supposed to be cleaning?
That's kind of what they all perceived was going to be happening. They were going to like start working on like the landscaping there.
Okay.
So the parking lot, it's like classic asphalt.
6 people just seem like a lot. I need 3 max, I would say.
Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that depends on like where. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So while the group of guys were waiting for a supervisor to show up, there was a lone landscaper spraying the bushes in front of the Bank of America.
Okay. Was he wearing the outfit?
He was wearing the outfit. Oh. He was wearing the blue hat, the long sleeve shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. He had brown hair. He was like doing a whole thing by himself.
Okay.
And so they just kind of assumed that he wasn't a new hire. And that he already kind of knew what he was supposed to be doing. Okay. And so they were still waiting for someone else to show up to tell them what to do.
So they did not bother this man?
They did not.
And he didn't engage with them?
No.
Okay, weird.
So he was just over there doing his thing.
Is that the real outfit for whoever does? I'm just so confused.
They're all wearing the same outfit.
Okay, yeah.
By the direction of somebody.
Yes.
So...
Okay, it matches this one dude.
It matches this one dude over
here
there.
Doing landscaping.
He's already here landscaping.
Spray so far.
Yeah, so far you're like, okay, like clearly.
So I'll be
this
here.
This is the uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are working here.
People are working.
Dude, they're probably wondering, what are all of us going to do?
Maybe.
Yeah, and like, where are the tools?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe whoever's going to show up.
Maybe the supervisor is going to pull up with a trailer and all things.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, so you know I've been in this parking lot multiple times. It's literally just like an asphalt parking lot, just maybe a couple buffers between like the highway 2 is right next to it, where there's just a couple bushes, like a couple little like circles of grass or whatever with like a tree, but it's an asphalt parking lot.
Yes.
You know, this isn't a park.
I think of an was a little bit,
they have some things.
It's mostly kind of like right between the building and like drive
through. Yeah, like hedges and
trees
and stuff.
Around it.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, though.
It's not a lot. It's not like they're making a park or something like that.
No.
Yeah.
Way too many people.
Yeah. So at 11:05 in the morning, obviously.
September 30th.
On September 30th, 2008, a Brinks armored vehicle pulls up in front of Bank of America, and security guard Gerardo Valdez gets out of the vehicle and begins wheeling 2 bags of cash and 4 boxes of coins into the bank.
Okay.
So it's 11 a.m. Bank's already open. Landscapers are outside. Reggie has some warts. If it's not one pet, it's another one, truly.
Reggie.
You know what? Be a nuisance. Because look, Coleman is too.
Okay, so this man that works for the bank?
He works for Brinks. So Brinks, armored vehicles, okay. Like the big, massive.
Yes, like. Seen them.
Yeah. I feel like they're in so many heist movies. Like someone's got a steel truck. You know?
Okay.
I think that's actually a Fast and the Furious plot line in one of the 14 that's out now. So Valdez gets out of the vehicle and begins wheeling 2 bags of cash and 4 boxes of coins, like I just said. And that is when the lone landscaper that was spraying the bushes drops the spraying equipment, sprints over to Valdez, and literally bear maces him in the face.
Oh, that's sad. God, at least he didn't shoot him, though.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's 2024's thing.
Fucking bear mace is intense.
That's sad. Listen, it's a risky job. I guess they probably do some sort of, like,
yeah, they
paper
have,
signing.
Probably.
That's terrible, though.
Yeah, like... regular fucking guy.
Yeah, so regular Mace, I just can't get up being like Bear Mace. I always talk about, okay, when I go hiking by myself, I bring Bear Mace.
Yes, thankfully.
Because I'm like, I will Bear Mace somebody. Because Bear Mace will stop any, I don't care what the person, who the person is. It could be the fucking rock. It will take them down. Because it's Bear Mace is literally meant to take down like a 1,000-pound grizzly bear.
Wow.
So being maced in the face at close range is, yeah.
It's terrible.
Poor man. I feel so bad for this man.
I mean, he survived.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
So.
That's terrible.
Like, we just, like, that was just
fucking guy.
Yeah, it was the lone landscaper.
Okay.
That came over and did that. And so Valdez naturally drops the money.
Yes, absolutely. Throw it away. I would.
I mean, you're probably instantly, like, vomiting.
Ugh, terrible.
It's awful. Yeah, and this.
How they treat you for something like that.
Yeah.
Pour a bunch of milk on you.
I don't think that actually
like,
works.
Hold your eyes open and pour milk. I don't know. What do you do?
I think you just. Ride it out, ride the wave. God, truly. Yeah, I mean, there's probably some sort of actual chemical like the hospitals have, yeah. But there's that whole theory about like milk is supposed to also work for like spicy food.
Sure.
It does that.
Maybe it does for some.
It's like a placebo effect, I think. So Valdez drops the money, landscaper grabs the two bags of money, and sprints up Old Owen Road.
Uh-huh.
Which is the road
that he runs.
He's running. He's sprinting up Old Owen Road.
Oh, okay.
So towards Eagle Park, which is kind of that weird little park that's between. So Old Owen and Highway 2, it's like a Y, essentially, intersection. So he's sprinting up Old Owen towards Eagle Park, which is about 655 feet from the site, from the Bank of America. We're about 218 meters.
For all you metrics out there.
So between the macing and the cash grab, the whole incident is about 30 seconds. So, drops.
And they didn't even go in the bank.
Drops the spraying equipment that was like spraying the bushes, maces the guard in the face, grabs the money, sprints away.
Okay. So would they just know he went that direction?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they know because... Mitch Ruth, Ruth Realty, which Ruth Realty is still there.
Wow.
He saw the robbery occur.
No. What? How?
He was like standing in like the little like office because Ruth Realty, the building is this tiny little like 500 square foot like shed thing.
Yeah.
It's like tiny. It's like just been
it's
there
like
forever.
It's across the street.
It's across the street. It's across Old Owen Road. So he's like on the phone. He sees it happen and he's on the phone. He's like, I gotta go. I just saw a bank robbery. Hangs up the phone.
Whoa.
Calls the police. And then, in something that I would never do, he decides that he wants to chase the robber down.
How old is this man?
I have no idea. I don't care how old you are. I'm not chasing someone that's robbing a bank.
You should talk about your robbery experience.
I will.
Is it on the notes? It's not on the notes in here.
I have thought about that for a specific story we haven't talked about yet on this podcast.
Fine.
But we will.
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger on my robbery story. So he chases the robber down, but loses him in Eagle Park.
Okay.
So
sure,
whatever.
I mean, I don't know what you're like. You're gonna tackle the guy, I guess. Yeah. But like, I'm not chasing.
He's supposed to see where he's going.
I'm not chasing a bank robber.
Dude, he's already done a lot more than a lot of people.
Absolutely. I'm like, you're wrong.
Like, just hanging up the phone, the call that he was on, it's like more than most people would do.
I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Anyways, blah blah blah. I mean, maybe if the man was like robbing an old lady, I'd be more inclined. To like run after them or something.
You're all the gang. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably call the cops, but
I mean, probably call the cops.
I would definitely not chase them.
Listen, things from people every goddamn day.
Literally talked about that for so long ago.
I think I highlighted that very.
We did.
In fact, that Bank of America totally deserved it.
That Bank of America.
There were a lot of overdraft fees in my first year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got sued for it.
They did. So, like, kind of fuck Bank of America. Anyways.
Okay, except not the company.
You know, yeah. So, Robert? I don't know.
Who got maced?
Gerardo.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry. During the chase, Mitch, the guy from the realtor's office, he saw the robber throw off his hat, the mask and a long brown wig, and also his shorts.
He had a wig on?
He did have a wig on.
Okay.
He had a brown wig on. The shorts is interesting to me. How do you lose your shorts and continue running?
Maybe he had two pairs of shorts.
But, like, are you stopping and taking your shorts off?
Oh, were they, like, the snappy kind?
Well, like, make them? Like the magic bike pants?
Maybe he freaking ripped them.
Maybe. He, like, cut the seams a little bit so they could just, like, pull them off quickly. All it just says is that he removed his shorts.
Okay, but he had to be wearing something else.
Yes.
Okay.
After this rundown and into Eagle Park, where the guy disappears, it's determined that he overall escaped with $400,000.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good chunk of money.
Just the two bags. Did he take both bags?
He took both bags.
Damn.
So he's also running with, like, heavy fucking bags.
Yes.
Which is impressive.
What does a bag look like? We haven't talked about that. We haven't talked about a wig.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
Get there. So after the robbery, the police showed up where all the other landscapers were pissed because they had just been scammed.
Yes.
And this is, like, during 2008, during the recession. So all these people were probably pretty desperate for work.
Yeah.
In 2850 in 2008 money is a lot of money to even be making for 9 days.
So that's a lot of money.
And they had to buy the shirt. They had to buy the hat. They had to buy the vest.
Yeah.
They had to buy the work boots. You know, it's shitty. Shitty scam.
They are really the victims here.
Yeah. Security guard.
Yeah.
So the police, the Monroe PD, they had canines track the scent of the robber in question, which led them to a shallow creek called Woods Creek within Eagle Park. Fun fact, my parents are Woods Lake Road. So it just gives you an indication of, like, how close this is. So, like,
is that the route that you took to get here?
Yeah. So I take, like, Old Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I drove past this today. So they led them to the shallow creek, which is called Woods Creek. And then the trail went cold at the creek. After an extensive search of the area for clues, a patrol officer found a yellow and black inner tube downstream of where the scent trail went cold.
That is smart.
So the inner tube...
Dude. Oh, that's hilarious.
So at the inner tube site, the police also found a torn-off shirt, a two-way radio that was Velcroed to the inner tube...
Someone left that inner tube for him.
And a steel cable connected to a tree on the shore and connected to a fallen tree in the creek.
Okay, so it wouldn't disappear.
Oh my
god. Red. Are you knocking the mic?
It's got a little cat butthole on the mic. Just don't touch it with your face.
Gross. You don't like Missy's story?
He's like, I'm actually a DBTuber. Could you fuck off and not tell my tale?
Okay, so... Tell me what that means to you.
So what that means to me is the guy got to the inner tube further upstream at Woods Creek in Eagle Park.
Okay.
Hopped on the inner tube, floated down to the site, two-way radioed somebody over the getaway driver.
Yeah.
And then, like, used the steel cable to pull himself out of the stream onto shore and then left.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that what it means to you?
Yes. Do you think that the steel cable was, like looped through the inner tube, or, like, the inner tube
was
just...
No, the steel cable was just kind of, like, across the stream, so whoever was riding the inner tube was able to grab it and get up, pull themselves to shore.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It is a little rednecky, but...
It's truly Monroe, because everyone floats the rivers there.
It's summer,
obviously. It's very much a summer thing. Like, it was, like, a thing we did every summer.
Yes, and now it's, like, Instagram, and
yes,
so many, 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 many thousands of people in the area, and all the people that live along these rivers are, like, just deeply pissed off.
Yeah,
except the Bicker River is where we grew up. Wasn't always small enough.
Yes, the Skykomish River is a little too scary.
Yes, it's a class 5.
Some of it, yes, classified rapids. Yeah. My first whitewater rafting. Not whitewater rafting.
It's something else they do there.
Yeah. No, I'm not a whitewater rapper. Just a white rapper. My first whitewater rafting experience was on
Skycomish River.
Yeah, and my first whitewater kayaking
experience was on the Skycomish River.
Were they with guides or?
The kayaking was not. You. It's funny because I literally, we just like rented kayaks and the guy was like, here you go. Good luck, essentially.
Yeah. Well, what part? Well, this is too regional. Sorry.
Yeah. We started an index. But so the funny thing about the story is whitewater kayaks have a skirt that you're basically, yeah, like suction yourself into your kayak, right?
Okay. Yes.
And they told me, like, in my very brief 10-minute session of, like, safety, if I flip the kayak, I have to pull this like, rubber skirt and somersault out of the kayak.
Okay, sure.
My first 4 minutes in the kayak, I flip upside down in rapids.
Oh, in rapids?
In rapids.
Oh, no.
And so I had to pull myself out. Oh. And, yeah.
Scary.
So, yeah, Skycomish River is scary.
It is
scary. Not necessarily, like, the one that you flip your like little inner tubes on, but there's plenty of streams and stuff around there where you do like inner tube. So it is very weirdly specific way to do a bank robbery in Monroe.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's gotten away and he probably has an accomplice.
Yes. Yeah. So by the end of the day, the search for the robber went cold. The only solid description the police had of the perpetrator was that he was tall, white, male, and younger. So there's your description.
Younger?
Younger. That's all they had. I mean, because he was also, I think he was also wearing sunglasses.
Okay.
So he was wearing a blue hat, brown wig. Essentially. Who knows you're in high school? What do you think? Pull this off. So they also had some DNA evidence from the mask he was wearing and the wig during the crime. But there wasn't a match within the system. So this person never committed a serious crime.
Okay.
So once the story of the crime hit the public, a local radio DJ, I could not figure out who it was. I really wish I could, dubbed the robber the name D.B. Tuber after the infamous D.B. Cooper, who did the bank heist, or not the bank heist, the plane hijacking and stole a bunch of money. So, suspects. No one would watch high school.
And fair. That would have been a little bit of an exaggeration.
I know. That would have been rare. I would have probably... Actually, there is someone in here that we might know, though. Or at least know by association.
Okay.
So, the next day, a patrol officer remembered a strange visit he had with a local city worker named Randy Osh.
No. Yeah. I
What were you going to say?
I just, like... Was like, whatever. I didn't expect you to actually say a name that I would recognize.
I just told you. You think I'm lying to you?
I just thought, like, oh, like, maybe I'll like have some idea. I didn't know who would be out.
On September 9th of the same year, so September 9th, 2008.
Nothing but lovely things to say about those.
Yeah, they're great. Randy approached an officer and told the officer that an unhoused man by the name of Alan Dean had told him he found a robbery kit behind a dumpster near the Bank of America.
A robbery kit.
Okay. A robbery kit.
Yeah. That sounds...
So
the bank was robbed. Yes, he probably did.
But this was like 3 weeks prior.
No, he found it before.
He found it September 9th.
Did he leave him?
Bitch, listen to the date.
I'm more of like a beggar. I am so cute.
I need to give you a notepad and have you write things down. She says, okay, I'm going to read this bullet again. It's okay. On September 9th of the same year, Randy approached the officer. I'm leaving all this in, by the way.
Oh, no.
And Randy approached the officer and told him an unhoused man by the name of Alan Dean had told him that he found a robbery kit behind a dumpster near the Bank of America. You don't need to respond again, but it's because I'm leaving this all
night. I also miss the unhoused person, like just like a good Samaritan over here.
Yeah. He was one of those people that would stand at that corner
the Bank of America and like across street, like Papa Murphy's and like Panhandle, essentially.
Yeah.
So he was doing that. And that's when he like saw this kit and went through it.
Sure. Why not?
Originally, Al had gone through the contents of the kit, which included a particle mask.
Urban foraging.
Right?
Urban foraging. That's good.
So the kit included a particle mask, a brown wig, and pepper spray.
Okay.
And,
there the whole time. Okay.
And he realized that this was a kit made for crime, essentially.
Dude, you could not get anything
by like, this is a kit made for crime. Like,
yeah, he's absolutely right.
And then he decided to approach Randy because Randy was a city worker. So he was like, here, I don't know.
Okay.
And tell him that he should call the law.
Got it. Okay.
Which is very funny to me. I don't know why he got called the law.
He seems like he's a little bit older.
He's like 53. Alan left the kit by the dumpster because he wanted to touch it anymore because now his fingerprints were on it, right?
Sure.
And before the cops showed up, the men saw a silver SUV pull up with the young man driving, and he began collecting the contents of the kit. Alan shouted to the guy that he shouldn't be touching that because he had called the law.
Okay.
To pick it up, and the driver shouted back, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Yeah. So he grabs the kit, drives away before the cops show up.
Why would you do that?
Why would you call the cops on me, bro?
Fucking girl. You weren't going to give this man a cut. You should have been like, listen, you didn't see anything.
Yeah.
And here's $100. And there's like 300 more of those.
Yeah.
You don't say a word.
Yeah.
That would work for me, frankly.
You're bought for $400 for crying?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
If you want me to do crime, you got to pay me a little bit more. So, Alan had crossword puzzles on him in a pen, and so he wrote down the license plate number of the silver SUV.
Whoa.
Alan is kind of the hero of this story, yes, I'm not gonna lie. So, naturally, now that they have the SUV license plate number, they run the vehicle. And it was registered to a one Emily Curacao.
Okay.
Oh, no, Curcio. Sorry.
Curcio.
Vehicle was registered to a one Emily Curcio. I read Curacao like fucking like blue Curacao from bartending.
Yes, I like that.
It was like a flashback. Okay. So Emily had grown up in Monroe and went to Monroe High School and was the cheerleading captain in Monroe High School. After high school, she went to WSU, earned a bachelor's in communications. However, after college, Emily had moved back to Monroe and married her longtime boyfriend, Anthony Curcio. This is a picture of them. So this is Anthony and Emily.
Wow, those are just two very,
it's a classic all-American cheerleader.
White kids.
And like,
he's got blue eyes.
Yeah,
they're beautiful. They look like a real sweet couple.
They're like all American. He's a football player too.
Yeah, he's wearing a Letterman's jacket.
She's wearing her cheerleading uniform. Wow, classic all American couple.
But I can't. They
look very. Yeah, cute. Yeah. So, Anthony was a homecoming king.
Dude, what? That's crazy.
And a football player who played D1 football for University of Idaho.
Okay.
So he was actually a pretty legit football player.
Went on to play?
No. He would eventually transfer from WSU to be closer to Emily.
Okay.
Which is kind of sweet.
Yeah, they look great.
And they were together in high school and he moved back.
And then they were married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then they got married. Yeah.
Cute.
So I will I will also note here that Anthony's father had owned a landscaping company in the town of Monroe. So keep that in the back of your mind. So after the Curcios got married, they bought a 4,000 square foot home in 2004, which is a massive house on the lake at some sort of lakefront property. I'm assuming like Lake Rossinger or Lake Goodwin.
Lake Stevens.
Like, they were closer to Monroe though. Okay. So I think it's like Lake Rossinger, one of those. And they began working in real estate and flipping houses. Specifically.
Okay.
So Anthony and Emily were considered by some Monroe royalty.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, very classic, all-American.
Yes.
You know. And, like, his father was pretty popular. Anthony's father was pretty popular with Monroe, too, I think, just because of the connections he made with landscaping.
Okay.
So, they were giving off this idyllic American dream vibe, right?
Yes, I believe it.
So, however, when the recession happened in 2007 and 2008, this kind of dream began to crumble. So, once successful house flippers, Anthony was making six figures on the houses he was flipping.
Wow, okay.
And then he had a bad house flip that he ended up nearly dumping $100,000 into the house before he was able to flip it. And then in 2007, the housing market crashed.
Yeah, tough business to be in.
Yeah, so it was like a domino effect. This dump of money into this flip, and then housing market crashes. Which is rough. It affected a lot of people. It affected a lot of people more profoundly than this.
Yep.
But yeah, it just kind of showed that, like, it kind of trickled everywhere, right? So the Curcios had their vehicles repossessed, and they were about to lose their house.
They
went that hard. They, like, definitely had this image that they wanted to uphold, and it was crumbling around them.
Yeah, clearly.
So to give you an idea how deep in debt they were, Anthony owed about $17,000 a month in mortgage payments.
Okay, because he probably had multiple properties.
He had multiple properties, multiple mortgages to pay.
Well, yeah, it's you're leveraged very high.
Yes. So with all of this immense stress, Anthony began using painkillers and cocaine to cope with everything.
Well, I thought it's only a matter of time until the, like, opioids enter the picture.
Mm-hmm. So, funny enough, I forgot.
Actually, just looking at them, I was like, oh, I bet he just starts doing opioids.
You didn't.
I did. I thought it. I didn't
say
it.
Really?
Yes, dude. They all. It's just, how many do we know?
I know. It's very true. It was just, I definitely wouldn't have guessed with these two. Not her.
Because he ends up robbing a bank, so duh. Like, something went away a lot.
Yes. It also should be noted that there was a police officer at the Monroe PD department at this time. And had actually gone to high school with Anthony and Emily. And he had noticed in the surveillance footage that the robber looked like he was in a runner stance, which is a common stance that football players do.
Oh, okay.
Not saying that, like, he's like, oh, this is Anthony. He was just like, oh, that's like a football player stance.
Whoa.
Which, I don't know if, I mean, I could fucking tell you that.
But I guess if you like football or really enjoyed football.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the stars were kind of aligning with this being Anthony.
Yeah, it's all
that committed the crime. But so far, all the evidence found had been circumstantial, right? I mean, there's the SUV that picked up that kit, but that was weeks before the crime occurred.
And did he drive an SUV like that? Or
it was registered to Emily.
I'm sorry. This is more than circumstantial, in my opinion.
I mean, I feel like a good defense attorney could argue this. Maybe they didn't have the money at this time, but I'm sure their families had the money to defend him. So, unfortunately, that's just, like, kind of how the system works in America. It just is what it is. People get off very quickly, even though there's tons of evidence against somebody.
Well,
it works the opposite way. It does work the opposite way, too. For sure. Unfortunately. So now, the FBI is involved in the case, and they began trailing Anthony to try to get some DNA evidence. Because remember, they had DNA from the wig and the mask.
Okay.
And Anthony never committed a crime.
Yep.
So he never had, like, to submit DNA for anything else. So he was never in the system. Eventually, Anthony throws away a Gatorade bottle filled with chewing tobacco spittle.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So fucking gross.
So they've been surveilling him.
They've been following him. They've been trailing him. I mean, the FBI is involved now. You're going up against some big guns at this point.
The FBI.
Mm-hmm. It's a federal case because he robbed a bank.
He thought about that?
Something to think about, kids.
I'm like, did he think that? Do you know? I wonder.
You should really seek legal counsel before you commit any kind of crime. Talk to a lawyer before you do a crime. So they take the spittle bottle and they run the DNA against the DNA on the mask and the wig, and it is a match. gross for Anthony. I feel so bad for that fucking tech that had to do that.
Well,
it's probably doubled worse. Yeah, they've doubled worse, I'm sure. But that's just gross.
And it's really gross. It's really embarrassing more than anything.
Yeah, truly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you plan out this bank robbery,
but you're still
in a very extensive, thoughtful way.
I'm impressed.
But you didn't think about DNA?
I don't know. I guess you can't change who you are.
Yes.
Still going to live your everyday life.
Truly. I mean, ugh. It was an excuse for him to quit the tobacco.
Should have been. But they would have got us DNA some other way.
And they would have, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, drink, yeah, but like a Jack in the Box cup or something.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Because you know he went back there.
Yeah, he got some tacos, the Jack in the Box, and just like sat there and watched.
Tacos, the Jack in the Box.
What?
I know that they sell them. It's just like such an interesting choice for you to say because they have so many.
That's like the only thing
that you'll eat there. Isn't it a burger place? Like generally.
Generally,
also sells tacos.
Listen, I know they're disgusting.
I think people like them.
They're two for a dollar.
That is. Okay, they must be fucking disgusting. Nothing costs 50 cents. Nothing even costs a dollar.
But what they do is they like put everything in the taco, in the crunchy taco shell, and then they like fry it with everything in it.
Oh, so it doesn't fall out? So it doesn't fall out. What about, is there anything fresh in there?
There's lettuce in there.
That's gross.
The lettuce isn't bad in there, though.
Does the lettuce get soggy?
No, it's like a flash fry.
Right, they're very sure thin. The lettuce is still cold?
Never noticed it, like it being gross.
Okay,
but
big problem with fried lettuce.
But I'm usually drunk, so
okay. Well, it's fine.
Like Jack in the Box, Ripper chicken strips, and their tacos.
Yeah, I'm a chicken strips.
Yeah,
but they're not good chicken strips.
They're not.
So
Jack in the Box is after people who are stoned or drunk.
Yep, I like the curly.
It's fries. Like, it's like the Denny's of fast food in that sense. Because you go to a Denny's when you're drunk. Because they're always open.
Yes.
You know, you get the pancakes.
Yeah.
To absorb that vodka soda you've been drinking all evening.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, you know, another time I would end up at a Denny's, frankly.
Me either. I haven't been to a Denny's in a very long time. So, on November 3rd, 2008. You know, write that down.
I'm with you. I heard it.
Say it slower. Anthony had set up a handoff of $17,000 to a friend in the Target parking lot in Woodinville. I'm going to say Woodinville because every fucking source I found said it was in Monroe. There has never been a Target Monroe.
No.
Get your fucking facts straight.
That's not even close.
Listen to me, bitch.
It's like a 30-minute, 25-minute.
20-minute down the road. Mm-hmm. It's Woodinville.
It's definitely Woodinville.
It's definitely Woodinville.
It's own city. Bigger city.
Own city. It's like wine country. It's way nicer.
It's actually true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if, yes.
Listen. Monroe will never have like a Target.
Second.
We have a Walmart. They give you, like, Monroe stuff.
You know, I thought there was a Costco over there this week, but
there isn't. No, there isn't. That's also Woodinville. Woodinville's where the fancy people go.
So this person that he paid 17 grand to.
He's doing a handoff.
Oh, he's going to. It's got to be like the accomplice, right? You could assume. Okay, go on.
It's like a shoulder trigger.
Who else is he paying $17,000 to?
So he's just handing it off to him. It doesn't sound like he's paying him.
Oh.
It sounds like it might be a money laundering situation.
Okay. Go on.
So he pulls up in a Range Rover that is owned by him, but it's in a friend's name.
Whoa, what kind of friends are signing
truly,
for you?
I would never fucking sign for a Range Rover.
Who is signing
for you? For anybody.
Who's signing for other people's vehicles?
I don't know. In 2008, in that economy? No. In this economy? No, thank you.
Weird. And maybe it was another person who like didn't care about their credit.
Or maybe it was someone like, I'll also buy you a Range Rover.
Yeah, I'll pay for you to do something.
You know what this sounds like? It's a very... I say his name, I don't fucking care. No one, he doesn't listen to this podcast. It's a person we grew up with.
Definitely somebody he knows will listen.
It is a person that we went to high school with
who truly has the mentality of a used cars dealer. And he pulled a lot of schemes growing up. And
he was the guy with the plan.
He was the guy with the plan, but like didn't want to do any work. So he like always had a plan to like make money, but like never wanted to work. I don't fucking care. But it sounds like something that he would have done. Be like, I'm gonna buy you a Range Rover. I'm gonna buy myself a Range Rover because I am flushed with cash. You know, but we had to put both of them in your name, and you're gonna pay cash for both of them. That's what I'm imagining.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
What were you gonna say?
No, I'm with you. I'm just like, yeah, it seems like it. Yeah,
I would never do that for something unless there was something like that in it for me. I'm not gonna lie.
I know, and I feel like you could probably convince someone to do that for you for a lot less.
Yeah,
like if you were just a douchebag guy.
Yeah,
and you were like, convince your girlfriend.
Truly,
you just had bad credit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You just like coerced her. And that happens to women all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't
even also come with the vehicle that you can drive.
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah, I think. I mean, like the peak perk of that would be like, I'll give you a car if you buy this car too for me.
Yeah, that like, part does sound very much sound like this wouldn't come with no.
Yeah, he would have to make it a deal for you too.
Certainly. It would have to be enticing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The charisma, guy, the snappiness.
Fancy, flashy. Yes. About the scene. Yeah, I could. Yeah, that probably. Totally,
yeah.
Yeah, I could see them making it in for you.
Yes. Totally, and making it in your favor. Anyways, maybe we shouldn't have called him out. I can bleep out his name at the end, or his last name. At least.
Anybody
that
knows it? No. Yeah, you should bleep everything in except just beep his name.
Okay. So they're in the Target parking lot. He pulls up in a Range Rover, owned in his friend's name, and the FBI and local police just swarm him.
Oh man, okay.
They arrest him in the Target parking lot.
I really love that. Like it's in my head now.
So this is like such a stupid thing. As he's being arrested, Anthony yells out, "Do you know who my parents are?"
The landscapers?
Yeah.
Anthony. That's small town.
That's very small town bullshit.
Yeah.
Your parents don't deserve that. They deserve better. They truly don't. So, while Anthony was arrested, the case still had a big question. If there was a two-way radio, Velcro to the inner tube, who was on the other end of it?
Yes. Good question. I'd like to know.
Yeah. So, after further investigation, they found out that Anthony did have a getaway driver and then someone who was storing the money in a warehouse for him.
Okay.
We don't know their identities because they were never charged because they had cut some sort of deal.
Sure.
They flipped. So, from what I have found, only about $220,000 of the money was ever recovered.
Oh, so somebody made money off of this.
Someone laundered the shit out of this money. Which, I mean, he pulled up in a Range Rover. They could have, you know, done some stuff like that. They could have bought a car, sold a car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
You know. So.
God, I wouldn't even know what to do.
Truly. No,
okay.
First thing you probably should do is put it back in the bank, right?
No. I don't think so.
You'd have to launder it somehow. You have to wash that shit. How you do that? I don't know.
I guess you buy cars and then sell cars.
Buy cars, sell cars.
Buy just stuff and resell it.
Probably would be my guess.
You still have to have a way of like claiming whatever income. If that's so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we don't count as income.
Listen, we're two white chicks. We don't know how to do crime, unfortunately.
Such a dingus.
We're fucking idiots.
You just have it and then you buy shit with it, stupid. That's it.
You buy the shit, you sell the shit. Problem solved. I don't know.
I don't know how you would claim that as income. I really don't know.
If you're robbing a bank, you don't claim it.
But how? The bank just like knows that you have like an influx of cash. They don't care.
Because you don't
have any reporting.
Yeah, you never put it in the bank.
I don't know enough about
you put it in a fucking warehouse that some idiot owns for you, okay, and you give him a cut. That's right, my guess.
Well, okay, go on.
So you next time we rob a bank, think about that. Don't claim it this time.
I'm still not sad about the bank
robbing. Me either. It's fine. Sorry, making fun of it, truly. So this is kind of sad. Emily had no idea that Anthony was behind the heist.
She had no idea.
She had no idea. Okay. And is reported to found out that he was the main suspect after watching the news and the arrest on TV.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So.
They have kids?
They do now. Anthony was charged with robbery and witness tampering because he was like kind of trying to pay people off. I think that's where the two accomplices. It's the nicest
kind of witness tampering.
Truly. Fucking tamper me all day, baby. Shouldn't there say that. I shouldn't say
that. There she goes. Why do you get that crime look in there?
I feel like the be gay, do crime. Fortunately, I'm not gay. Fortunately, I'm more attracted to men. Anyways. It's very
important. It's not true.
I mean, yeah. Men are fine. Sorry. It's fine. So, Anthony was charged with robbery with a tampering and was sentenced to 6 years in prison. In prison, he got sober. Because he had been addicted to cocaine and opiates.
Sure.
Which probably was a big reason why the crime happened in general.
I made it easier for
him. Yeah.
And also part of the reason, because I doubt that being addicted
is cheap. Probably not. And weirdly, he began writing children's books and became a pretty successful author of children's stories.
Unexpected.
Yeah. He wrote a book including My Dad's in Jail.
Okay.
So,
my heart hurts. Yeah. Are they still together?
Anthony and Emily are still together.
No way.
And they still live in Washington.
Wait, she didn't know.
She didn't know.
How long did he go to jail?
6 years.
And they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they're happy.
Yeah. So, along with being an author, Anthony now gives talks to kids about the dangers of drugs and making good choices.
Really? I did not see it turning around this way.
Yeah.
Did he have any make amends to the man that he tastes?
I did not taste. He didn't taste amazing. I don't know.
I need to know.
But I do have a positive note. You know, I hope that guy's doing well. But, so, I'm on the positive note of the story.
Sorry, back to the positive.
Yeah, no, on the positive note, Ellen Dean, the homeless man.
Yes, or, hero.
I think technically it's unhoused.
Unhoused hero
that essentially broke the case open.
Broke it open.
Because he saw the fucking SUV, he wrote on the license plate number.
A lot of men doing the right thing, honestly.
Yeah, he was given a reward for helping the police, and he bought himself a Nissan Pathfinder and used Nissan Pathfinder to drive down south to reunite with his kids again.
Really?
Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah. And that's
the least they could do, honestly.
Truly. I don't know what the reward was, but it was enough to buy a car.
All the man needed was a set of wheels.
And that's, like, that was what he was, like, trying to, like, that was his goal, to, like, raise enough money to buy a car to drive down south. To, like, see his kids again. That's all he wanted to do. So, yeah.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's, like, okay, except the actual victims, but I'm thinking about them.
Yeah. The bank?
No, the...
Oh, the guy that got based?
Yes, the security guard of the landscapers.
Oh, the parents?
No, the ones that got called there had to be decoys.
The Craigslist
ads. But none of them got arrested.
Yeah, no one got arrested besides Anthony. He was the only one that got arrested.
Some good police work there.
Truly.
All around.
Yeah.
A lighthearted story.
More lighthearted story. But yeah, it's pretty wild, right?
I liked it.
Never heard of that before in my life. Until like a year ago.
Yeah, no, it doesn't ring a bell
at all. It was literally, like, I take that road on the way to my parents' house.
And whoever was his accomplice?
Accomplices?
Accomplices.
I think accomplices.
Dual accomplice.
Yeah.
Multiple accomplice.
Yeah.
Or just amongst us.
Yeah. So is Anthony. You don't fucking know.
That's true.
He just looks like an average white guy.
Yeah, I'm glad he made it through.
Yeah, him and Emily made it through.
So Emily's happy.
I hope she is, too. From what I've read, she has a pretty high-paying job in Seattle.
Her
somewhere, but she was on like food stamps for a long time because her husband was in prison, so
Dude.
She was able to work her way out of it. What so life. Seriously. What a wild fucking ride, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's
a DV tuber. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We appreciate you guys listening. Make sure if you do listen that you give us a 5-star rating because it really helps us get some more levity with getting more listenership. So
yeah.
Boost numbers, baby. But anyways, until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. For podcast updates and episode photos, be sure to follow us on Instagram @grimlypodcast.
Also, be sure to rate and review our episodes, and we will see you next week for another episode.